Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success. Yes, I am your host, and I'm hanging out here with you today. We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap for your business, career, or life. And we're going to do this through chatting to one person at a time to uncover their lives, people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes. I was looking for a quote the other day to kick off the show, and something that, you know, dealt with basically success and also dealt with a little bit of health. And interesting, when you search healthy quotes, you get a lot of Buddha shows up. I mean, it was just so many Buddha quotes, I couldn't believe it. But I was looking for something for the everyday person, the everyday name that you might know. Maybe you do know the name Buddha. That's fine if you do know it. So I looked around a little bit more, and I came across this quote from Thomas Jefferson that said, "Our greatest happiness does not depend on the condition of life in which chance has placed us, but is always a result of good conscience, good health, occupation, and the freedom to pursue just pursuits." I thought to myself, how true that is. Well, at least for me, especially the freedom in all just pursuits. That resonated with me because I could hear the words purpose ring in my ears. I often find myself in conversations, discussions with clients about their purpose, and we tend to call it mission. You know, what is your mission in life? What's your business mission? What's your business purpose overall, even in your life too, which is not always easy to come up with. You know, a lot of organizations, a lot of even individuals go through life with a lack of a sense of a mission or a purpose in their life. And that is okay. Answering that question of what's your purpose is akin to answering, why am I here? Why are you here? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Sometimes purpose in life comes from extreme circumstances and a desire to help yourself, but only to realize that you can actually help other people too. For example, you find yourself, and with no explanation, you have to set out to discover some way of curing yourself, only to discover that what works for you may actually work for other people. Suddenly, your good health success becomes focused on other people's good health success. Even though the quote I use is from a famous American, I think it applies to our wonderful country that we live in called Canada. As a nation, we are free to pursue in good conscience, good health, and occupation to help others if we so choose, no matter the condition of life. I think my guest did just that. Her Success for Success story started in a place that something needed to change in her personal life. So I'm pleased to welcome Carol Manlow to this installment of Set for Success. Carol, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard.
I am so excited to have you here. And I'm even more excited now because I know you from when we were actually, should I say the word kids?
Yeah,
teenagers, teenagers and stuff like this.
Yeah.
But I didn't make the connection when you reached out to me and said, hey, you know, I got a story that might be good for your show. So why don't we start off right there? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Carol?
Well, I'm started.
Let's go personally. Tell me a little bit about your life personally. You are Winnipeg born and raised?
I'm Winnipeg born and raised. Yeah. I've lived in Thompson, BC. I've got two kids, three awesome grandkids.
Yeah.
That are actually all coming up for my retirement this weekend.
Oh, right on. So you're just about to retire.
I am.
Oh, that's a pretty exciting situation. I didn't realize that retirement was coming up this so early for you.
Yes, after 24 years it's of doing the same thing, I'm ready to pass the torch.
Pass the torch and maybe move on to something else.
Oh, probably.
Probably. I know that during the, before we actually kicked off the show, you and I were just chatting a little bit. We used to work for a company called Family Fair Foods in Waverly Heights, Winnipeg.
Yep.
What did you do there? Do you recall?
Cashier.
Cashier. Now, I was like a, at the time, we used to call it a bag boy, which now I think, which, you know, that's not really a good descriptor now, but I think it'd probably be a stock person or something now along that lines. And we used to work for two people called, do you remember their names?
I don't.
Tony and Ralph.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
I worked for them for 3 years, and yeah, I'm giving you a bit of my story. And now,
refreshing my memory.
Well, there you go. But now, as I look back on that story, and I've shared it a few times on the show, they've actually became important mentors for me. Like hindsight's 20/20, who's influenced your life? That kind of thing.
Oh, for sure.
If I was to ask you that question, who influenced your life? Could you remember somebody from your past that had a positive influence on your life?
My dad.
Your dad. Oh, your dad was awesome. So I knew your dad. But
yes.
Anyway, go ahead. In what way?
I mean, my dad was always the entrepreneur.
Totally.
Totally. And I mean, that's what sort of started me off. My dad's always worked for himself. Same with me. Ever since I was 19, I've been self-employed. I miss him every day.
Yes.
he's always been a mentor to me. He's encouraged me in everything that I've done.
Yes.
When I started to invent my own products, he was right there working, encouraging me. I actually worked for him for a time in financial investments,
yes,
which
you did,
is one thing
you?
That he wanted so badly,
yes.
Was for one of us to work with him. And I did for about 2 years.
It's interesting. So I want to speak to this too, because your dad was wonderful to me too. And the share of the story, I mean, I was a teenager and I'd left high school, worked for a few years and went on to university. And he was really supportive. He actually sent me a note congratulating me for going off the university and encouraging me to be successful at it. When I graduated for university, he wrote me a recommendation letter.
That sounds
right?
like my dad.
Yeah. Always impressed that I worked for Family Fair Foods for 3 years, was impressed that I paid for my own university education. So I just want to tell you on the show that, you know, your dad was a cool guy.
That's always cool to hear, because, I mean, he's been gone for 17 years.
17 years now.
So,
yeah, when I heard, I was very sad. But anyway, so let's kick in a little bit more before my time is up for this segment. 20 some odd years ago, you know, let's back up before that. You mentioned that you've always been pretty much self-employed.
Yes.
What are some of the businesses, not the one that you're presently moving out of that you've been doing for 20 some odd years, but what are some of the businesses that you've done? You did some financial planning stuff, the investor type thing. Then
yeah.
What were some of the other things you did?
I started as a courier.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I went through courier. I went through probably about three different companies. I ended up dispatching.
Yes.
Went to move with one of the companies to BC, thinking that I was going to be a dispatcher, and wound up in BC with no job because they didn't know anything about me coming. So that was a little bit interesting, kind of threw a brick wall up in front of me, expecting to go there with a job and having nothing.
Okay.
And then I ended up coming back because my grandparents, I felt, needed me.
Yes.
They weren't well. And then I worked for my dad for a while. As a financial planner. And then I went on disability.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that part. That you
I was on disability for 2 years.
Okay. Okay. Now why, and I know this will probably lead into our next story, and maybe we should start there. What were the things just before were going transpiring in life before you went on disability?
I had actually had problems for probably 17 years from when I lived in Thompson. I had gotten quite ill. And I had been sick with a lot of pain for probably about, like I said, 17 years. And I had gone from doctor to doctor and nobody seemed to know what was wrong.
You know, this is really quite interesting. I think what we should do is we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about exactly what happened in your health area, because I think that's what sort of moved you into your full business.
Oh, most definitely.
This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. Yep, you're hanging on Set for Success, and I'm hanging out with Carol Manlow. Now, do I have the name pronounced a little properly? Okay. I'm always concerned whenever I have people's last names because they can be spelled one way and pronounced completely differently.
Yes.
And I just sit there and go, how'd you get that? And what's really bizarre, Carol, is people get my name wrong. I mean, my name is pretty much two syllables, and you just say it as it's actually written, right? And
yep.
That's where you go. And, you know, yeah. So anyway, enough about me. Just before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the challenges you're having. I mean, you've always been an entrepreneur, right? I know you've had a few jobs similar to myself in your life, but pretty much you've always worked for yourself. But then you started to experience a few years of health issues. Now, roughly what decade was that? How long ago was that?
That was back in the 70s.
Back in the 70s?
Yes.
Okay, so the latter part of the 70s we're talking about,
yes.
Right? Yeah, let's just sort of move it up a little bit here. Let's bring it up to 79, right? 80, 81, that time frame. So what were the things that you were experiencing health-wise?
Well, I had gotten really sick. I actually ended up with mono.
Oh, okay.
And I was told I had the worst case in Canada.
You know what? I remember something about that. It's amazing that you would say that, because I think we had a conversation or something, or paths crossed around that time, and you were talking about that with me.
Yeah, that was back in Thompson, and I was hospitalized for quite a while. I missed almost 6 months of school.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
Everything was correspondence, doing it at home. But after that, I never really regained a good health. After that, I was in a lot of pain. I always had a lot of problems, couldn't sleep. And I'd gone from doctor to doctor, and nobody seemed to know really what was
What was wrong?
What was wrong?
So let's back up a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit more about the symptoms?
Constant pain.
Constant pain, but like joint pain, muscle pain, aches? Like
joint aches. My grandmother was rheumatoid arthritis, okay. So they originally thought that possibly that's what it was. I didn't test for it.
Okay.
My levels were all okay. Constant headaches, pain, tired, couldn't concentrate, couldn't focus on anything. So I had a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
And it definitely was really hard when nobody seemed to know what it was.
Well, I mean, and when you explain those kind of symptoms, they're fairly, and I hope you, respectfully, they're very generic symptoms, you know?
Especially like for somebody at that age.
Yeah, because you would have been 20-ish, maybe younger?
Yeah, I was just into my late teens, early 20s.
Yeah, so roughly around there. So I'm trying to keep the age in a nice polite area. I mean, we're both in probably roughly the same space, you know. Okay, so then finally, you did get diagnosed. I was reading your bio a little bit. What were you diagnosed with?
Fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia. So what is that, in case our listeners don't know what it is?
Fibromyalgia, in the simplest terms to explain it, is like arthritis of the muscle.
Okay.
Versus the joint.
Okay.
It's your muscles and the nerves and muscles that are causing the pain. There's 18 trigger points. When I finally found this one doctor, I actually had all 18.
You had all 18?
I had all 18.
So you had a doctor identify it and everything. Again, I have the privilege of having read your bio a little bit, but what was actions did you take? Like before you even got into your business, because I think it was more of a personal pursuit first. Is it okay for me to say that? Yeah. So what were some of the actions that you took when you figured that one out, or when you discovered that's what it was?
As soon as I figured out what it was, that gave me, like, I had a name. I started researching. I actually took 19 courses from bed.
From bed.
I was bedridden for almost 2 years.
Sorry, I had a moment where when you said that, I was thinking, what school is that? But anyway, okay.
Yeah. I was actually bedridden for almost 2 years.
Okay.
I couldn't do a whole lot of anything. So I took my courses to chemistry, anatomy, psychology, everything to try it, nutrition, to try and figure out something to help myself.
What institution was that from?
A National School of Nutrition.
Okay.
And it's a correspondence. It's all through correspondence.
Yeah, back then, yeah.
But it was become a nutritional consultant, but I didn't do it for that. I did it to try and find something that would help me.
Yeah, which I think that's part of the backstory that's absolutely fascinating. I mean, here you are, you have this situation and you needed to find something to help yourself, right?
Yes.
Now, if we fast forward a little bit, and I'm not too sure where to go with this question, but, I know where to go with this. What did you discover that was a solution for you to actually help your health out?
Food.
Okay, fair enough.
Food.
Who doesn't love food?
You know. I was a pain in the butt to invite over for a barbecue, I'll tell you.
That sounds like our family.
Because I couldn't eat beef.
Yes.
Potatoes.
Yes.
Tomatoes.
Yes.
Peppers.
Yes.
Eggplant, not such a big problem.
Yeah.
Parsnips, not such a big problem. But you go to a barbecue.
Those are all foods that are there.
Oh,
yeah.
So
go to an outing. Go to a business event. You know, same
anywhere.
Thing. Yeah. Go ahead.
And I mean, so I eliminated. And to do that, you have to do an elimination diet. You actually have to eliminate all the foods for 10 days and then reintroduce one at a time for 10 days and sort of diarize what you feel.
Okay.
And red meat was killer for me.
Okay.
Tomatoes, which, I mean, I'm a condiment person. I love my ketchup.
You love your ketchup, Rob.
I love my ketchup.
Yeah, well, what Canadian doesn't love ketchup?
Yeah, I went for 6 years where I did not have beef, tomatoes, or potatoes.
Okay.
Those were my three main ones. Peppers, I didn't like anyway, so I didn't really have to worry about that one. But it changed my life. And hydration.
Okay, so keeping your water levels
up.
Which is an interesting one that you say, because most people actually don't drink enough water.
Most people don't know how much water they need to
drink. They should be drinking every day.
And there's a formula for it that's really quite important.
What's the formula?
Take your body weight in pounds, divide by 2, and that's how many ounces of water your body needs a day.
Take your body weight in pounds, divide by 2, and that's how many ounces of water you need per day.
Yes.
That's worth repeating, actually.
Yeah. So for anybody that's on a weight loss program,
yeah,
and they say, I can't drink that much water, well, I say for every couple of pounds you lose, that's a less ounce you have to drink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. You know, right? And you do need to stay hydrated.
You do.
We got to take another break. And Carol, you're an absolutely fascinating person. I just love how these segments are flying with our discussion. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll discuss really where you went with your the challenge that you had and the future that it created for you.
Okay.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Carol Manlow, and we were talking a bit about health and how that actually turns into really an entrepreneurial endeavor, but we haven't touched that yet, have we yet, Carol?
Not yet.
So just before the break, we were talking about elimination diets and the amount of water you should eat, and I thought those are great Set for Success tips, so I really appreciate you sharing right up front those types of things because it's so important for people's health. As you moved forward with, what was that you were diagnosed with again?
Fibromyalgia.
Yeah, see, I'm afraid to actually pronounce it. And so I'll get you to, what's that again? I'll get you to keep saying it. So it took you on a journey, really, to find out how to be healthier. So you did the elimination. So what happened after the elimination? What did you discover?
After I did the elimination diet, I started feeling better. I took a couple of, started making some baths, some herbal baths.
Baths.
B-A-T-H.
Yes.
Which was great. I had soak-out soreness and whatnot with various herbs. The problem was, is your bathtub's not really portable.
No, it's so not.
It worked really good for pain when you were there.
Yes.
But I needed something that would work sort of.
Yeah, and a bath, generally speaking, I mean, if you got sore muscles, even from just working out or being stressed out, I mean, a bath sort of really soothes you anyway.
Especially when you add the herbs and everything else.
Yeah.
But I worked alongside a chemist and a chiropractor and developed a product.
Okay.
That actually helped me. I started at trade shows.
Okay, so there we go.
Craft sales, actually.
At craft sales,
yes.
Yeah.
I was on disability.
Yes.
And fortunately, my doctor thought that it was a great way of getting me back into the workforce.
Okay.
By doing this, it was like therapy.
Yeah, so you have something to do.
So I had something to do. So, I mean, I would do the trade show on the weekend.
Yeah.
And I would be, like, done for the week. I would be sore and not be able to do a whole lot.
So you'd be exhausted.
Being exhausted. So gradually worked my way up. And then after doing craft sales and finding that, hey, this doesn't only help me, it helps other people.
Yes.
I actually was sponsored through the RBC.
Oh, okay.
To a wholesale trade show. And in Edmonton.
So the Royal Bank of Canada.
Royal Bank of Canada had sponsored at that time this little 5x5 booth, and I went and to see if this was going to be a successful business or not.
Yes.
And wound up that it was. I helped a lot of people that show, discovered a few things. When you're at a trade show, I mean, your knees are sore and that, so I'd send people into the bathroom and, you know, spray your knees. And then we realized, yeah, when you're spraying your knees, make sure your underwear is above it and you're not pulling it up because it has a tingling effect.
Yeah,
and
okay.
It can definitely make you dance.
Oh, there you go.
So it's
Go ahead.
It was an experience. I really discovered a lot of people. It was helping a lot of people.
Okay.
Not just me.
And this was a product that you created. I want to go back to the trade show experience. At that point in time, did you have any experience doing trade shows or is that just something new? Do you recall what some of the lessons learned were from that?
Be prepared.
Yes.
Realize that trade shows, craft sales are not as easy as you think they are.
Yeah, okay.
You're loading everything up. Anything you don't sell, you've got to pack up and take back home.
Yes.
I was a single parent with 2 kids.
Yes.
They came on the craft show circuit with me.
Yes.
And it was good. It was a great bonding time with the family. My kids absolutely hated the fact that I ran a business out of my house.
Yeah. Because you're always home.
Because if the phone rang, I was going to answer it.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, they really disliked it. They were really after me to get it out of my house.
Yeah, segment your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that something that that you managed to do eventually, like to move the business out of your house and segment a little bit?
I did. It took quite a while, but I incorporated my business in 2002.
Okay. Okay.
I was at home for a while.
For a long time. Now obviously you created a product that is used to spray on to your muscles and everything to what? To help them relax or what
yeah,
does it do, what does it do for people?
It helps reduce inflammation, help restore the blood flow to the area, help loosen up the tight sore muscles and joints.
Okay.
So it's not only good for people with fibro, but it's good, you know, the first time we'll go for this season when you get in the garden.
Oh yeah,
and you're hurt afterwards. Yeah,
yeah,
and you're using muscles you haven't used in a while. If you've been in a car accident, if you've sports injuries.
Yeah.
My cousin is the Raptor.
Yes.
And so he uses it. So we've had lots of people use it, lots of sports people use it, but like I said, I never set out to start it in business.
Yeah.
I started out to help myself.
Yeah,
but then having other people find the same results as I did was so rewarding for me.
So how did you discover that? Like, because you did start out to help yourself. Like, when did you discover you could actually help other people?
I had friends that were trying it.
Yeah.
I had a chiropractor that was using it on his patients, chiropractor that I used to see. And he said, you know, this is really good, except people aren't coming back to me as often anymore.
Oh, yeah. So they've been trying it that way. Now, your business has advanced over, how many years has it been?
23 years?
23 years. And where are you located now?
I'm in Selkirk.
You're in Selkirk. So you've grown your company. How many employees does the company have now?
Well, I actually have two businesses now.
Okay, sure.
Because I started out when RBC, that was a wholesale business. So that's selling to other stores. So
business to business.
Business to business.
Yeah.
And then when my first granddaughter was born,
yes,
I opened up a store. I had a product that was called Aunt Carol's Restless Leg Cream. And my daughter said, well, now that you're a grandma, you've got to have something that's got grandma. So my store is Grandma Carol's Gourmet Bulk and Health.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that was, my granddaughter was born in July, and I opened up the store in November.
In November. So this is just a recent retail outlet that you've opened up.
Yes.
So is that something that people are able to visit in Selkirk then?
Yep.
Okay. So you've kept everything out in Selkirk on that. Over the course of the time period that you started your business, obviously you started to help yourself, but then you discovered you could help other people, which is awesome because in essence, you know, that whole quote that I started off with, a just pursuit, you discover the just pursuit.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and fair enough, probably say that you have some passion around it.
Yes. And I think that's why I started the retail because one thing that I missed out on saying was when I started doing craft sales, I was actually invited to speak to people with fibromyalgia groups.
Okay.
So I did touring. I'd gone to Alberta, Saskatchewan. They invited me to speak to their fibromyalgia groups on the fact that I had fibromyalgia, and look, now I'm working full-time, plus.
Plus, yeah, well, you start your own company, yeah, generally plus.
And so I sort of counseled quite a few people along the way on different ways that they could help themselves.
Help themselves, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it sounds to me like probably a bit on diet, a bit on health products, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because I can't help but think that really you correct me on this one, that you've had to discover a lifestyle of healthiness.
Yeah, you have to. I had to change things.
Yeah, okay.
You know, there was things that you had to do that aren't necessarily what you like to do. I wear a step meter because you've got to keep your activity level up.
Yes.
So I'm accountable.
Yes.
And that's what I sort of tell people is you've got to be accountable. It's just like drinking your water.
Yeah.
You've got to be accountable. If you've got this much, here's your water bottle. You need to drink that many of them a day.
Yeah, I understand that. It's interesting to say that. My wife and I track our steps too. Mm-hmm. And we've got almost like a little healthy competition between each other. And it's fun, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's not, you know, but, you know, I did my 10,000 a day. Oh, I got 13. Oh, wow. And then she'll stand up and start doing you know, getting some more. And it sort of works. It keeps you accountable, right?
It does. I mean, I'm like when I'm at home, you don't do not necessarily a lot of steps. No. So we are in the basement, but if I got to go to the washroom, it's upstairs.
And you bring your counter
with you.
To
make sure that you can count those steps.
And away you go.
And away you go.
We got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll do a little bit of questions and things and maybe introduce people a little bit more to your organization. It's Richard Lanford, Set for Success. Whoops, we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. Been hanging out with Carol. Carol, you know what? I didn't even ask your company name. What's the name of your company?
Kentry Connections, Inc. and Grandma Carol's Gourmet Bulk and Health.
There you go. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, ask you a few questions, everything, how would they go about doing that?
GrandmaCarol's at live.ca.
Oh, there you go. So they go right to your website. Just before, during our break, we were talking a little bit about really a topic that's dear to me, investing in the success of others, people, you know, and organizations so they're successful. That's like my whole mission, purpose in life. If you had a purpose in life or a mission statement in life, what would you say it is?
To help others find their own health.
To help others find their own health. So you've thought about this.
You know, that's what I've been doing ever since I finally found that doctor that diagnosed me. That's been my passion in life, was to help other people. I was with women business owners. I've mentored people to start businesses. I've helped people to find their own health. And to me, that's important. That'll never change. Even once I retire, that's always been in me, and it'll never leave.
I can't imagine. I think retirement just means go do something else for you.
Probably.
I understand you've received some accolades, a few recognitions. What are some of the recognitions you received over the years?
In 2009, I received Woman Entrepreneur of the Year for International Trade.
That's cool.
And the reason for international trade was because I actually import Himalayan salt lamps, and I went to Pakistan.
Oh, right on.
In 2005, which I would never do again.
Okay.
But glad I went there. And then last year, I won Business of the Year.
Okay.
For my retail store.
For your retail store. So
I figured, okay, I've won Woman of the Year, I've won Business of the Year.
Yeah.
Now it's time I'll be mentoring the two ladies that are buying my store.
Yeah, and there you go. So you have a bit of a succession plan in place.
Yeah.
So when do you plan on exiting your organization?
Hopefully Monday.
So this is pretty recent in that respect. And you have some people that are taking over. So there's a whole succession type plan in place.
Working through the paperwork right now.
Just sort of finalizing everything at this point in time. That's really cool. I mean, you've talked a bit about a business/career arc that spanned discovering something to help yourself, only to realize that you can help other people, and then turning that into a business over, 24 years?
Yeah.
And starting it out of your home, and then eventually manufacturing probably at another location.
Yeah, now I'm 7,900 square feet.
Now you're 7,900 square feet. How many employees is 7,900 square feet?
10.
So nice, depending on your definition, small or mid-range business for Canada, per se, because there's a variety of different definitions that go on with when it comes to business. I'm curious about something, given the path that you're on right now, in your own life, what is something that you think you'd like to achieve?
Oh boy, he's going to put me on the spot.
I am putting you totally on the spot. Yeah.
You know, I've really achieved it.
Okay.
I was so proud of my two awards. I really wish my dad could have been there, because he would have been just tickled pink to see that. But to have my kids succeed.
Okay.
You know, my son's out in Vancouver. My daughter's in Gillam with my three grandkids, which is frustrating because I would love to spend more time with them.
Sure, they're your grandkids.
I don't get to see them nearly as much as I'd like to. When they say Manitoba's worst roads, 280 going up to Gillam.
There you go.
That's definitely one of them. Just to continue helping people.
Okay. If you could eliminate something in your life, what would it be?
Stress.
Okay. In what way?
Probably dealing with employees.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think I found that the most stressful part of business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't clone myself.
You couldn't clone yourself.
You know,
yeah.
I couldn't be there all the time, and I have a problem letting go.
Okay. All right.
I've been in control for a lot of years, and to be able to just let go is not easy.
Well, that's actually really insightful. You know, that sort of need to independence, autonomy, be in control. I have that, a bit of that too. I actually have a lot of it. So, but it is interesting to try to find ways to minimize the stress in your life. I got to share this. I can't help it. I jokingly say to my friends who know me, business would be fun if you didn't have to deal with people. You know,
oh, I can relate.
And sorry if you're listening to me and you're an employee or something. Oh my gosh, I'll never work for this guy. But sometimes the biggest challenge can be actually your employees. Did you ever find any particular thing that worked for you when having to deal with difficult or challenging situations with people? If you don't have a response to that, it's okay.
I don't.
You don't.
It's never been easy. I've had friends tell me, "Oh, I know when you're stressed. You're flicking your fingers, and the signs of stress show.
The eye is twitching.
The eyes twitch, and my blood pressure goes up.
Yeah, well, that ain't good.
Because I'm a very excitable person.
Yeah, okay.
And a very emotional person, and so I find like I love dealing with my customers. If I could be on the floor and deal with my customers and not have to deal with the everyday
everything else
stuff, I'd be great.
You'd be great, yeah. And it's interesting, you know, sometimes I hear that from a lot of entrepreneurs who've built a successful business of your size where you still have to work on the business, but you still have to work in the business. And it's like, if I could just work on the business and have somebody else work in the business for me and have it run smoothly, that would be awesome.
For sure.
You know, that would be, so maybe that's one of the things that for other entrepreneurs or other people out there listening that they might be able to consider. Maybe there's a way they can do it. If you could change anything in the world, what would be something you'd like to change?
I'd like to have my kids living locally.
Oh, that, in the whole world.
In the whole world. That's it. I'd like my grandkids living where I do.
That's the one thing in the whole world. Well, that's all right. That's cool.
You know, I enjoy traveling. This was the first year that I actually took a vacation.
Yeah.
29 days East Coast. And that was the longest time I've ever been away from the store.
Yeah. From what
and,
you do.
Like, I've never taken a 2-week vacation, let alone a month.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Where did you go on the East Coast?
Everywhere. Okay. We drove over 11,000 kilometers. We went to Newfoundland.
Oh, yeah. I was born.
We did Peggy's Cove.
Oh, right.
And
on.
We went across to Charlottetown, New Brunswick.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you went to New Brunswick. You went to Prince Edward Island.
We went to PEI. Yeah, so we did the whole thing.
Okay, right on. And you did it all driving.
We did it all driving.
Sorry, when did you do that?
In July.
So you went a nice time to go. Yeah.
Came back through Maine.
Yeah, that's a good ride.
So yeah, it was nice. Vertigo and water didn't really help.
Yeah.
The ferry to Newfoundland is kind of a long...
It is a long ferry, depending which one you go. Did you go Argentia? Did you go Port
Bath? We did the long way there and the short way back.
Oh, smart move. So you went Argentia.
Yeah.
You took that route. And that's a bit of a time on the ferry. Like, that's over 24 hours. Yeah, 27, 30 hours or something along that line.
I think it was 18.
18? Oh, see, it's been so long, I've
forgotten. Yeah, I think it was 18.
Yeah.
But, it was good. That was sort of the first of seeing that I could have a life.
There you go. Here's to having a life. You know, Carol, what a show we've been having. I'm having a great time actually talking to you and stuff. And I know that we could probably catch up and chat for a long time. If you had a final thought you'd like to share with our listeners, what might it be?
Take care of your health while you can.
Take care of your health while you can. That's actually a really, really good one. Carol, I want to thank you for joining me today on Set for Success. Absolutely awesome. You know, you're a great guest. Also, for our listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in. And if you have a question, a thought, or an idea around the show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.